After stalling out over the Bahamas the last couple of days, Hurricane Dorian is starting to make its way slowly to the northwest. The National Hurricane Center says the winds continue to weaken, but the storm appears to be growing in size. Meteorologists say that means it could actually be more destructive than it was when it was smaller and windier. Here in the state, Governor Evers has authorized the Wisconsin National Guard to assist civil authorities in Florida, and the Wisconsin Humane Society has brought in 33 cats that were evacuated from Florida over the weekend. So where is Dorian likely to go? What other tropical activities should we be keeping an eye on? Jonathan Erdman is a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. He's covered more than 100 Atlantic hurricanes, including Katrina's landfall in 2005. John, welcome back to the show.
Rob, it's great to be with you.
Well, can you give us the latest information on Dorian, where it is, how big it is, and how fast it's moving?
Well, currently, the center of Hurricane Dorian is located about 100 miles east of Vero Beach, Florida. And, fortunately today, it's actually moving instead of stalling out. It's moving to the northwest at about 5 miles per hour, which doesn't sound very fast forward motion, but it had been stalled out for over 36 hours over the northwest Bahamas. So at least it's moving, but it still is packing winds of 110 miles per hour. That's a Category 2 hurricane. And as you mentioned earlier, it's growing larger, so that means its wind field is growing.
We've talked about this before, John. It sounds like it's good news when it goes from Category 4 to 3 and 3 to 2. It's not necessarily as reassuring as it sounds, though, right?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. That's the problem. The Saffir-Simpson Hurricane Wind Scale, which refers to the Category 1, 2, and 3 that we're all familiar hearing, all that really factors in is how strong the maximum winds are in a hurricane. It doesn't tell you anything about how big the wind field is, how vast of an area is seeing hurricane force winds and tropical storm force winds. And so what's kind of, it sounds paradoxical, but as it was hammering the northwest Bahamas, it was a Category 5, obviously an attention getter, but it was small. Now it's actually weakening in its maximum sustained winds, but its wind field is growing larger, so it's likely to affect a pretty large swath of the southeast coast over the next few days.
Now, we're still waiting to see how badly hit the Bahamas were, how big the damage is, hoping, I guess, for the least bad we can hope for there. Is it unusual for a hurricane to park itself to stall for such a long period of time?
Well, unfortunately, it's not unusual in the sense that sometimes the steering currents of hurricanes collapse. So one way to visualize what happened is hurricanes are usually steered by large areas of high pressure to their north. And what happened in this particular case is that the steering winds just disappeared for a while. It's as if it lost its steering wheel and there was just nothing to push it along. It's as if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you take your foot off the gas and you let your car just coast to a stop. So it's not unusual that it happened, although it did spend over 36 hours with the eyewall pounding Grand Bahama Island. And that is truly incredible at that particular intensity.
Now, watching its course in the future, it seems like charts show it kind of veering and shearing along the U.S. eastern seaboard, Florida and the Carolinas in particular. What are you watching for next?
Yeah, this isn't a really good scenario, to be honest. There can be some hurricanes which head right toward a section of the coast, quickly make landfall, they hit a section of the coast hard, and then they move away. The problem with Dorian, and similar to what we saw with Hurricane Matthew 3 years ago, if you remember that hurricane, is it's going to kind of parallel the coast from just east of the Florida coast and then very closely hug the coast of Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina through Friday. So there's a pretty large section of the coast that could see hurricane force winds from the Carolina coast through the east coast of Florida. And also that's going to produce dangerous storm surge and battering waves riding atop the surge with a lot of beach erosion. So this is just going to be a mess up and down the coast.
Talking to Jonathan Erdman with weather.com, looking at Hurricane Dorian as it approaches the U.S. East Coast. And that's not the only one we're keeping an eye on, John. Is it a tropical storm now in the Gulf of Mexico we're watching?
It is. You know, we're in the heart of hurricane season now, so we typically don't just have one thing out there. We usually have several. And we just had Tropical Storm Fernand that formed in the western Gulf of Mexico today. Now, that's going to move inland pretty quickly, so it's not going to have a chance to become a beast like Dorian did. But it could produce some heavy rain for northeast Mexico and maybe the Texas lower Rio Grande Valley. You know, we have a couple other disturbances we're watching. In fact, I just refreshed my browser here. We just have a new tropical depression way out in the eastern Atlantic. That's Tropical Depression 8, which will probably become Tropical Storm Gabrielle at some point. That looks like it's going to stay in the central Atlantic and not threaten any land. But we have a lot of hurricane season left. We have probably two-thirds of the hurricane season left to go, so we'll have to keep a watch on things.
And, yeah, people have been talking about a quiet hurricane season up till now. Is that right?
Well, it was, and I'm guilty of that. You know, I wrote an article about 2 weeks ago saying how we had a lack of storms there for about a four-week period, but that's not unusual. July and June can be quite quiet for a while. And then all of a sudden, almost like a switch, I've seen several hurricane seasons do this where you get to late August and all of a sudden it's one after another as you get to the heart of the season. And I'm afraid we're probably in that mode, at least for a while, until we get maybe past, say, early to mid-October.
Well, that's all Atlantic and Gulf of Mexico. I saw you had tweeted, I think, about a Juliet, a Category 3 hurricane in the Pacific?
Yes, that's right. So Juliet, you know, was out there, and it wasn't generally a land threat for the most part. And to be honest, I hadn't been giving it too close a watch, given everything else going on. But I found it just fascinating that this poor tiny island that's about 7 square miles, that's a Mexican island of Clarion Island, and you could probably Google it and figure out where that is, was hit by the eyewall of this Category 3 hurricane. Apparently, there's only 9 people that live on the island. It's a kind of a Mexican naval outpost. But they were just incredibly unlucky by this Eastern Pacific hurricane.
And John, as we wrap up, in the coming 24, 48 hours, what kind of things are you watching for to see where Dorian tracks?
Well, it's a very close call because every few miles difference between the track and the center could mean the difference between the eyewall of Dorian striking more of the southeast coast and maybe the eyewall just staying offshore. Regardless, though, of the track of this, there's going to be destructive storm surge flooding from Florida all the way up to the Carolinas, and there's going to be some strong wind gusts and beach erosion, too. So things are going to go downhill in a hurry from Georgia to the Carolinas over the next day or so.
John, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
My pleasure.
That's Jonathan Erdman, a Milwaukee-based senior digital meteorologist with weather.com and contributor to the Weather Channel podcast. We talked with him about the latest on Hurricane Dorian. It's expected to move up the East Coast this week after settling destructively over parts of the Bahamas over the last couple of days. Keep following the story over at npr.org.